Hello and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. This is episode one. My name is Bill Paravano, and each week or each time we're going to go over a different topic regarding different challenges that I get. There are a whole host of issues regarding knee pain and the challenges that people experience as far as chronic knee pain. And what I have found is there are certain topics that come up quite often, and I thought it would be a wonderful thing to create a series of podcasts that would go over those different topics. And we have episode one today, and it's titled Bone on Bone is Bullshit. And one thing before we really get started here, I do want to have a disclaimer. And that none of the information that I'll pass along today is to be construed as medical advice. This is information that I have in the past 10 years experienced both with myself as well as dozens of clients that this information has worked for. A little bit over 10 years ago, I experienced a severe knee injury. I dislocated my left knee over a series of four times, and I had to have reconstructive surgery on my left knee, and that was an extremely painful experience, and the doctor did a wonderful job. He did a great job. The Dr. John Ellis, the orthopedic surgeon for the University of Louisville sports teams, did a fantastic job on my knee. And then I went to physical therapy, and the people at the physical therapy clinic did a wonderful job as well. However, when I got on the other side of all of that, I was a little disillusioned, thinking that, well, I get the ligament fixed in my knee. They took out a couple pieces of meniscus, and I was going to be ready to go. However, it didn't quite work that way, and there was a lot of pain, tension, and discomfort that I experienced in my body, as well as in the knee. There was swelling, discomfort, pain, tension, compensation that my body went through. So I've spent the past 10 years, a little bit over 10 years now, figuring out how to address those situations that presented themselves, how I was able to deal with the injury, the compensation. And it's led me on a path to help both myself, and once I started figuring these things out, I began helping other people and found that it worked for them as well. So that these concepts that I put together is based on a few premises. And one, of course, is that nothing is broken or torn in your knee, and that needs to be ruled out. And the first thing that's very important is that if you do have a knee injury, that you go get it checked out by your doctor. Get the x-ray, get the MRI, get the CT scan, whatever you need, and rule that out. Because if something is broken or torn, then, of course, that needs to be fixed. Now, of course, there's different degrees of broken or torn meniscus. If it is very slightly torn, has the ability to heal. Same thing with ligaments and tendons. If there are slight tears in them, if you educate yourself, get proper water and nutrition, then the body can begin to heal what's going on in there. However, if there's a complete tear, like what I experienced in the ligament in my left knee, what happens is the ligament's not going to grow back together. It's just dangling there in space. So it's important that you see a doctor and get that addressed, get that fixed, and then you can begin your progress or your process to healing what's going on in your body. Another premise is that your body has the infinite capacity to heal itself. Your body knows what to do. Your body knows how to process air. It knows how to process food. Your heart pumps blood without you even thinking about it. You go to sleep. Your lungs are still pumping oxygen. This all happens without you even being consciously aware of it. This happens 24/7, 365, your entire life. So your body knows how to heal the damage that your knee has experienced. So what I found is that you need to create the conditions that the body needs in order to heal what's going on in the knees. And if those conditions are not created, then consequently, the knee pain will continue. The knee pain will persist. And the example I like to use, the example I like to describe, is the combination to a safe, to a bank. One of those big, can imagine those big vault safes. And they have those dial knobs that have all the numbers on it. And you have to go so many turns to the right to 22 and then stop and then, you know, three turns to the left to 17 and stop and then five turns to the right to 36. And then that knob will turn and the safe will open. And if you get one of those numbers wrong, if you get one of those numbers off, then the safe door is not going to open and you're not going to be able to get inside that vault. And the same thing is going on with what's happening with knee pain, what's happening in your knees. Because if you do exercises, and you can do all the proper exercises in the world, if you aren't eating the proper food that your body needs to heal the damaged cells in your knees, then it's not going to happen. Same thing, if you aren't drinking enough water, then your body doesn't have what it needs to heal what's going on in your knees. So it's a very comprehensive approach that needs to be looked at in order to understand how to heal what's going on in your knees. And what I've seen and what prevents so many people from healing what's going on in their knees is essentially ignorance, is not understanding what's happening. And then they're going to healthcare professionals that really aren't understanding what's going on in the body either. And thus we have a very dysfunctional healthcare system that ends up causing a lot of people a lot of undue pain. And like I said, if there's something broken or torn, then I want the medical profession there in my corner. I want them to be able to heal the broken bone. I want them to be able to do the surgery to correct what's going on. However, that's not always the answer. That is, in a very few cases, the answer. Many times, if we go back to five areas that I've seen, water, nutrition, exercise, stretching, and breathing, and do it in that proper combination, like I was talking about the safe, opening up the vault to the bank safe, then the body has the ability to heal itself. However, only until then that can happen. So one of the misconceptions that I'm going to go into on detail today is the concept of bone on bone. And of course, it's not that bone on bone doesn't exist. It absolutely does. However, the ability or the reason is that being an excuse why you have knee pain, that's the bullshit part. Because There is a medical doctor that I found extremely interesting. His name is Stephen M. Levine, medical doctor. He is out of, I believe, in the Northeast in the United States. And he talks about a concept that he calls, or actually was realized by two people, Ken Snelson and R. Buckminster Fuller, which Buckminster Fuller is, you hear in a lot of business circles, how he talks about processes in businesses. And what we're talking about, this tensegrity, and a great example of what we can talk about as far as tensegrity is like a bicycle wheel. And the common thinking or the common misconception is that our body is like a building. Like you have a foundation, and then you have a first floor, and you have a second floor, and you have a third floor. And there's this understanding in common understanding today that if there's something going on in the basement, that means we have to replace what's going on in the basement in order to fix the house. And it's like there's building blocks. And what Stephen M. Levine had realized, and this is through the studies of this Ken Snelson and R. Buckminster Fuller, is that our body is not built like that. It's not like a house. That there's this structure called tensegrity, and he called it biotensegrity. As a matter of fact, I'll give you his website here. It's biotensegrity.com. That's biotensegrity.com. And back to the example of the bicycle wheel, your body functions the very same way. So you have a rim and you have a center of the wheel. And there's tension that's created by the spokes that go from the rim to the center of the wheel. And based on the tension of those spokes, it gives the wheel its strength. Now, if you begin to loosen or tighten certain spokes, it's going to change the shape of the wheel. It makes the wheel maybe more oblong, like a like an egg type of shape, or it may bring it out of balance where the wheel is not centered. And your body functions the very same way. And a perfect example of this is if you've ever walked through your house and stubbed your toe, you smacked your big toe on the corner of your bed, then what happens is your body compensates for that stubbed toe. It moves away from that pain. It moves away from the injured toe, and it shifts the tension to the rest of your structure. So let's say you smack the big toe on your right foot. So the big toe on your right foot hurts now. You're going to pull that toe back. And now you're going to bend your right knee. And you're going to curl your right hip up, which compensates so you won't step on that toe. At the same time, you're shifting your weight over to your left leg. And more of the weight in your body is going to set on your left leg. So there's more pressure that's going to come down on your left hip, your left knee, your left ankle, and ultimately your left foot. That tension also goes up into the body. Your lumbar spine or your lower back needs to compensate for that tension as it shifts. So now you have more weight over on the left side of your body, and like a teeter-totter, your body needs to compensate on the right side, above the waist. So you're going to look at more tension in your arms and in your shoulders, because now you want to support yourself and grab onto a chair or a desk or something so you won't step on that right toe again. Well, this tension translates all the way up into your neck. You may clench your jaw. You'll have tension in your upper back, the middle part of your back, your arms, your shoulders, your hands, your forearms, the whole nine yards, just because you stubbed your toe. And we're not even talking about a serious injury. We're just talking about a little toe that you stubbed. Well, this translates the very same way when we're talking about the tensegrity structure, how your body transfers tension throughout it to compensate for an injury. And then what happens is now you stubbed your toe last week, and now you decide you're going to go cycling or jogging or walking. And you go for a walk for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, could be even longer, and all of a sudden you start feeling this thing in your back. You're like, well, I didn't do anything. Nothing out of the ordinary. I just went for a walk like I normally do. Yet what happens is every time you're stepping now, your body has that memory of that stubbed toe. Your body has that memory of what happened. And now instead of stepping balanced, it begins to get imbalanced. And instead of 50, you have a 50, instead of a 50-50 split on your feet, now you have, let's say, 60-40. And every time you step, there's a little bit more pressure that's going on one of those legs. So down the road, now you start feeling something going on in your back. So you compensate again. And then the tension goes to another place. Now you have it in your neck. And the body compensates again. And in the meanwhile, you're still walking more on that one side, on that left leg. And eventually, it could end up in something like knee pain. You could turn a certain way, twist a certain way, decide to play racquetball or tennis, go for a jog, bicycle ride, whatever it is, and now that imbalance causes something to go in your knee. It twists. You get a burning or shooting or something that goes on in your knee. You may even start to pop. And this is because of the tension that's being built up in the body. It's the proverbial, the straw that broke the camel's back. We have this injury compensation throughout our entire life. All of the experiences we have in our life affect us. The stubbed toes, you bump your knee, the conversation you have with a significant other, or the bill collector that calls, or you name it, you fill in the blank, we experience these. These all affect us in some way, shape, or form, and it builds up stress and tension in our nervous system. And it begins a compounding effect. So what happens in our body is now that knee ends up being the weakest link in the series of tension from the head to the feet, the little tweak that went. So now every time we step, we experience that pain in the knee. So what does the body do? It compensates. More tension goes up into the pelvis. More tension is shifted over onto the other side. And what I've seen, and this happens, I've talked to countless clients, I've listened to people talk about these issues, is that they'll have a knee surgery on one side of their body and it feels better, or so they think, and then a few years later, few months later, whatever the case may be, now they have issues with the other knee. It's because there's something going on in the pelvis that's not moving freely. The tension is built up in the body. So every time you're stepping, now the body is pounding. The body is stepping hard every time you walk. And that jarring has compromised the tensegrity structure. The really interesting part about this whole tensegrity piece that Dr. Stephen M. Levine did is there was a study at Harvard University. And what they did is they took a skeleton and they created this skeleton. And what they did is they took the joints, the bones, and what they did is they attached rubber bands, different size rubber bands for different bones. And what they did is they were able to have the skeleton walk upright down an inclined plane just by the tension between the bones, which I thought was absolutely fascinating and so cool, that it completely blows the concept of the idea that we need this building foundation, ground floor, first floor, second floor concept of the body. And what they found out was that when the body's tensegrity structure is engaged, when this is working properly, there is no need for the spacers between the joints. There is no need for the meniscus. Because what happens is the space is created by the tension in the structure, not by the spacers between the joints. That doesn't keep it working. When we have the old mentality that the body is a foundation, first floor, second floor, then there's this idea that we need these spacers between the joints. When we understand it from a tensegrity structure approach, there's no need for those spacers between the joints. Those spacers between the joints are only there to compensate when the tensegrity structure has been compromised. I am a perfect example because when I had my knee surgery, the doctors took out two pieces of meniscus, two pieces of the spacer, the cushion that's supposed to be between my tibia, the bone in my lower leg, and my femur, the bone in my upper leg. So technically, I am a living example of what would be considered bone on bone. So I don't have pain in my knees. I don't have pain anymore. I haven't had it for quite a long time. So there's got to be another dynamic going on. And the one that I have seen that makes the absolute most sense is this tensegrity structure and how Dr. Levine goes in and describes this. It's quite fascinating. Definitely check out his website, that biotensegrity.com. I want to read this off of the history. It's off of Dr. Levine's website, and it talks about the history of it. And what he had talked about was during his residency training that he was taught about the biomechanics, that when he was becoming a doctor. And it was the physics to biologic structures, and particularly how it applied to the human frame. So this is basically taking the understanding of the physics and biology of the body and how it applies directly to the human body. And it was based on and it looks like an Italian mathematician in 1860. That's where this concept of how the body works originated. From 1860, we still had that same concept of how the body worked. And it's all based on Newtonian physics or Newtonian mechanics and how it would apply to a column of a building built with rigid materials standing in one place on solid ground. And of course, us as humans were not built of rigid materials, and we don't stay in one place. And all biologic structures, as Dr. Levine refers to, are mobile and go in multiple directions, independent of gravity, and built of soft materials. And the mechanical laws as applied to these structures may be different. And one of the examples he uses is how impossible it is to explain the mechanics of a dinosaur neck using standard Newtonian mechanics. So, you know, the brontosaurus neck that's very long, even a giraffe's neck, on how it's very long and how to use a basic column structure or a basic building understanding just doesn't apply. So this is very, very interesting, and I think it applies directly to the whole bone-on-bone concept. And when I hear people over and over talking about, well, there's bone-on-bone, there's nothing I can do, I'm in this holding pattern until my knees get bad enough that I can have knee replacement surgery. And I just don't believe that this is the case. I just don't believe that there is no other choice. There are infinite number of choices. And once again, I go back to the definition of insanity. And I just really enjoy that. That, of course, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And surgery is not always the answer. And neither is putting a Band-Aid over it, like using prescription drugs or pain-killing shots to numb what's going on, because many times that makes the situation worse. Because now the body has a blind spot in the nervous system. It doesn't know when it's doing something that's causing discomfort, that's causing pain, which can make the injury or make the deterioration of the bone faster, because now it can't feel the fact that it hurts. So, okay, there's all the doom and gloom, the bad stuff as far as the existing medical model the way it is. However, what can you do about it? And I touched on it a little bit before, and I refer to it in a model that I refer to as D-BEST. D like in dog, best. And what happens is the D part, first it's drinking water. Drinking the proper amount of water for your body. The B is for breathing, and that is proper breathing. The E is for eating the proper food, getting the proper nutrition. The S is for stretching, and I'm talking about proper stretching and dynamic stretching that causes your body to feel normal again. And T is training the tendons and ligaments in the knee joint itself. So how I explain this to my clients and the people that I work with is that the body needs the proper amount of water. Going back to the D-BEST model, D, drink more water. Drink the proper amount of water. And you need to get the proper amount of water in your body to flush out the toxins. I think of it like a river. If you have plenty of water flowing through a river, there's no chance for algae and mold and mosquitoes to grow because the water is flushing that out. It's continually cleaning that out, cleaning out the river. And the very same thing happens in your body. That if you don't drink enough water, the body doesn't have enough fluid to clean itself out. You have processes that are going on 24/7, every day, all day, every day, where old cells are dying off and new cells are regenerating. And those old cells need to go somewhere. They need to get out of your body. They need to be excreted either through going to the bathroom. That's how those waste products get out of your body. And if there's not enough fluid to flush that out, those dead, dying, decaying cells sit in your body, and it causes issues. And just by not drinking enough water, that it creates what is called a pH imbalance. That means the acid-alkaline balance in your body is too low, which creates more of an acidic state, and that can sit in your knee joint, irritating the nerve endings, sending a signal to your brain that you have knee pain. Now, to compound that issue, going back to that tensegrity model that I was talking about, that if the structure has been compromised and now there's not enough space in your joint and the bones are rubbing, the cartilage is getting rubbed, the meniscus is getting rubbed, it's causing pain, the body tenses up. Your nervous system does that automatically as a way to protect itself from being injured further. That injury compensation that I was talking about earlier. So when that happens, now the body is squeezing too tight for the water to actually get in there. And you can check me on this. My wife is actually a medical doctor, and she did a little bit of research for me and found out that a lot of the issues with arthritis in joints, in knee joints, it's a result of a dehydrated joint. That's the medical diagnosis for it. So how does the joint get dehydrated? Because there's not enough water. So it's multifunctional. Is it because you're not drinking enough water? And if you are drinking enough water and you still have that issue in your knee, odds are the tension in the knee is so tight that the water can't even get in the joint to flush those toxins out. So it continues to wear more. So what's the solution? They'll put injections in the knee to rehydrate the knee, to reestablish the synovial fluid in the joint. However, what ends up happening is because the tension is so great, that will last for a couple days, if that, a couple weeks, maybe. And then you're back to the same issue. And the joint is wearing away again. They call it bone on bone. So the idea is to reestablish that tensegrity structure so the water can now get in there and flush out what's going on in the knee. So the body can clean itself out and take all those dead, dying and decaying cells and clean them out. And of course, when you're having damage in your knee, the rate of damage, the rate of dying of those cells increases faster. So The next part of that DBEST model is breathing. B. D is for drinking more water, drinking the proper amount of water. B is for breathing. So what does breathing have to do with anything? And why is it so important? Well, first of all, remember when I was saying the injury compensation? The body tenses up to protect itself. Well, that has a direct relation on your nervous system. Think about it. Whenever you have pain, one of the first things we do is we tense up. We hold our breath because it's painful. So there's parts of your nervous system that begin to tense up. It's that fight, flight, or freeze. It's the painful. It's painful. So the body gets more tense. This squeezes your knee. Remember, I was just talking about the water piece squeezes the water right out of your knee. Think about making a fist. And when you squeeze your hand real tight, make a fist, and hold it there even for 5-10 seconds and open your hand up, the inside of your hand is white. So that's squeezing blood and oxygen out of your hand just for a little bit. The same thing happens when your nervous system tenses up, when you experience pain. The body gets tight. Well, you can control that. You can control your body through proper breathing. And as you become consciously aware of the pain that the body's experiencing and use breathing as a way to overcome that tension, now you can begin to control the amount of pain the body feels. You have control over that. Perfect example, women who use Lamaze as a form of childbirth. Natural childbirth. They control the amount of pain their body experiences through controlled breathing. And the same thing can apply in the scenario of experiencing chronic knee pain. If there's pain going up and down steps, if there's pain getting out of a chair, whatever it is, you begin to incorporate proper breathing and you relax the tension in your nervous system. Your nervous system begins to unwind and let go of that tension that it's experiencing. So that's the breathing piece. The next is of the DBEST model is E, and that is eating, proper food, proper nutrition. And the example I like to use is a car, a race car. And the better fuel you use in that race car, the better performance you're going to get out of the car. That's just common sense. If you have a diesel truck and you put in unleaded gasoline, you're probably not going to get the optimal performance out of your engine, because diesel engines are not designed to be run on gasoline, and vice versa. So you need to have the proper fuel. And what does the proper fuel have to do with what's going on in your knees? Well, here's the deal. If you don't have the proper fuel, then what happens is your body can't convert it to the energy it needs to heal the damage of what's going on in your knees. It can't heal the cells. There's no way to do it. And consequently, we live in a society that has a lot of heavily processed, heavily dyed additives and preservatives to the food. Well, if you look in from an evolutionary basis, our bodies are tens of thousands of years old. And the food that we're putting in it, the processed foods that we're putting in it, are only hundreds of years old, maybe thousands in there as far as the types of fuel that we're putting in our bodies. So it's no surprise why we get sick and why our body is not able to heal what's going on in our knees. So it's very important to give it the proper fuel, the proper energy it needs to be able to heal the damage of what's going on in your knees. So you can begin to see how this all is tying together. You can't just do the single approach. You can't just look at it from, well, if I drink more water, my knee pain is going to go away. I can't just look at breathing and my knee pain will go away. I can't just eat a different diet, my knee pain will go away. It begins to tie together. So you need to create the space first. And the space is through creating more space in the tensegrity structure. So now the water can get in there and flush out the bad stuff. And then eat good food, so now the good stuff can heal the damaged cells in your knees. So, all right, we have a couple more letters of the D-BEST model. The next one is S for stretching. And, of course, I'm not just talking about linear stretching. I'm not talking about, well, let's stretch your hamstring, let's stretch your quadriceps, let's stretch your calves. That is important. However, what I'm really talking about is dynamic stretching. And that's how your body moves normally. Because remember when I was saying it's like the knees pound and it's that bone-on-bone feel because there's tension in the pelvis? That if we don't have dynamic stretching going on, if the body doesn't feel normal, if the body doesn't feel smooth and fluid, if you look at a child when it moves, it doesn't think about how it moves. It's always just how whatever it feels like, and because it doesn't have excess tension in its body. It acts and expresses itself in that moment. So the idea is to stretch so it feels normal. And the best example I could use is getting up and out of a car. If you have tension in your body, undue tension, it's going to be very difficult for you to get out of a car and get up at the same time because it's very dynamic. It's not linear. You want to understand how to stretch the body dynamically so it moves. Like when you're in a car and you reach back over a seat, it's not a linear way. So it's important to educate your nervous system. It's important to educate your body so it moves just as smooth and as fluid as it did before your knee injury. So the stretching, the proper dynamic stretching is very important. And the last part of that D-BEST model is the training of the tendons and ligaments in your knee. And this is a huge thing that I see that is overlooked. Because if you do a Google search on knee pain, anything that's going on, exercises for knee pain, except, of course, on my website, which I'm happy to say, they talk about strengthening the muscles in the legs in order to get rid of knee pain. Well, if that really worked, why is there so many people with knee pain? Why do people still have knee pain? So it goes back to the definition of insanity, is that if you look at an anatomy chart, and the specific anatomy chart that I'm talking about is a muscle anatomy chart. And you can do a Google search for muscle anatomy chart. I also have one on my website. That if you look at the knee joint, there are no muscles in the knee. There are only tendons and ligaments. And what happens is if you just strengthen the muscles in the knee or muscles in the leg, it reinforces those choppy tension patterns. Because consequently, if you just focus on muscle, it actually creates tension in the body. When you focus on strengthening tendons and ligaments, it actually reestablishes the tensegrity structure that I was talking about before. Those are the bands between the bones. If you look at the way the knee joint is, the way the tendons and ligaments attach in the knee joint, it's the same way that the bicycle spokes are. And when that gets compromised, you'll have a part of the bone rubbing on another part of the bone. So when you do the muscle exercises, the exercises to strengthen the muscles in the leg, it reinforces that dysfunctional pattern. And that is what ends up being incredibly damaging to what's going on in your knee already. So the focus is on strengthening the tendons and ligaments. And strengthening the tendons and ligaments is like apples and oranges in terms of comparing strengthening muscles and tendons and ligaments is like comparing apples and oranges. Because the way you strengthen muscles is completely different from strengthening tendons and ligaments. And specifically in the amount of time you spend on an exercise and the length of time that you do that exercise. And what I found is that you really don't have to spend a huge amount of time doing a single exercise. You just need to do the correct exercise that's bringing your body back into balance, that's creating the space, that's allowing your body to heal itself. So that's the big picture of essentially what's happening in your knees and what's going on and why they aren't healing, because of the tension patterns that are causing the bones to squeeze closer together, squeezing the water out, and not being able to clean out the waste that is happening, not eating a proper diet to be able to heal the damaged cells, the breathing to relax the tension in the nervous system, and the proper stretching and strengthening of the knee joint itself to reestablish the tensegrity structure so it isn't compromised anymore. So that's my approach, and that's in looking at what's going on in the body. You got to zoom out. You got to have that bigger picture to be able to get what's happening in your knee. And if you ignore that, well, you see what happens. Knee pain continues. Things don't change. And that frustration sets in. Well, I've tried everything. Well, I've done everything that I've been told to do. However, if everything you've been told to do is wrong, then something else needs to be considered. And that's one of the things that I've found that has kept a number of people from getting out of knee pain is the complete disbelief that there's another way, that the only validity in this world comes from individuals with letters after their name. When actuality, what happened before there were colleges, like in the beginning of time? Who figured this stuff out then? Who understood? Who put it together? Now, granted, it isn't to invalidate that, because there is certainly a lot of validity in that. It's just that let's take what works and disregard what's not. That's very important. That's very important to look at. Well, I've been doing physical therapy for 10 years. I spoke with a woman 2 days ago. And she was so frustrated. She had ACL surgery the same year. No, wait, she didn't have ACL surgery. She had arthroscopic surgery. I had the ACL surgery. They just took out a few pieces of meniscus in her knee. So, like, compared to mine, it was minor, like hardly anything. It is now 11 years later, and they're basically not going to do anything else. The insurance isn't covering things. The physical therapist, it hasn't been working. And what are the doctors saying? That, well, she'll eventually have to go and get a knee replacement. Well, she doesn't want to do a knee replacement because that's not going to solve the issue. There's still tension patterns in the rest of the body. However, what's keeping her most is the belief that it could really work. It's like being stuck on that hamster wheel, and you just keep running faster and faster and faster, and it seems like the more I do, the less it works. So take a step off, which it's really difficult. It is extremely difficult, and I have complete compassion for that place. It's like, well, it hurts a lot, so how can I get that clarity? Well, see, obviously, it's not working. What's been going on for 10 years is not working. You got to do something different. You got to take that step, that little step that's going to begin to create the conditions to making being completely out of knee pain inevitable. That has to happen. Otherwise, you're condemned to a life of pain and discomfort that keeps you from doing the things you want to do. You can't spend time with your family. You can't go out dancing. You can't play sports. You can't go hiking. You can't do anything you want. And what kind of life is that, sitting on the couch, gaining weight, getting more out of shape, and not even attempting to do anything? That's no life. At least it isn't a life that I would want to live. I wouldn't choose. So, anyhow, that is my take, and that's what I believe will help a tremendous amount of people and be that's going to help people get out of knee pain. That is going to make a huge difference. So, anyhow, I hope this information has helped. I do have information if you want to take a step. Want to take a little step in the direction of helping yourself. I do have a free report that goes over that DBEST model that I think would be very beneficial for you to check out. And you can go to freekneepainreport.com. I know I try to make it as simple as possible. Freekneepainreport.com. No spaces, no dashes. And just go to freekneepainreport.com. All you need to do is fill in your first name and email address. And within probably 30 seconds to a minute, you'll receive in your inbox the free report that's going to go into the details on my DBEST model. It's going to tell you more detailed information. It's going to give you something tangible that you can refer to and look at and check out that's going to be able to help you with what's going on in your knee with your knees. So, I want to wish everyone the best. I want you to take care and be well. And we'll see you on the next episode.